Welcome back, everybody, to Say Your Name and Spell It. I'm Zach Garrett.
And I'm Omar Delgado. We got a great podcast for you today. We got Phil Berman, one of our STN judges. He's coming up later on. And Zach, what else are we going to talk about?
You know, Omar, it's so exciting because we are only a few days away from convention. Can you believe it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't wait, man. Convention's the highlight of the year. Kids are excited. I know I'm excited. We've been working really hard for convention, and I just can't wait to get there and to have In-N-Out Burger.
And I was just thinking about that with you. In my mind, I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and get my burger, and I think I'll be good after that. We can win,
lose. We might have to do a little field trip out here because, you know, Tampa the next 2 years, we got no In-N-Out on the East Coast.
We'll talk about that later. Creative solutions to that.
That's right.
But convention's only a few days away, and we're so stoked to see everybody. And right now, the numbers are showing that this is going to be the largest convention ever.
Of course it is. Of course it is, because we're growing. We're getting better. Everyone is enjoying STN and learning a lot, and the kids are using it for the right reasons. And that's what STN's all about, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And so on that note, the excitement of convention, we are launching a brand new summer advisor workshop this summer.
Who's going to be hosting that? Who's going to be teaching that kind of stuff?
Well, you know what's great about it is that they get to see you, Omar. That's really the biggest win for everybody.
Listen, as much as I love talking about myself, which you know I do, everyone knows that the real star of that show is Karin McKinney from Catawba Ridge in South Carolina. Come on, man.
That's right. The queen of broadcast. So it's going to be a really cool event. So it's going to be Omar Delgado, myself, and Karin McKinney. We're all going to be hosting it actually at my school, Gulliver Prep, right here in Miami.
Yeah. And your beautiful new building.
That's right. We have a beautiful new space. Digital Mass Media has a few rooms that we're going to be able to use. And I think the whole point of all of our conversations, and Omar would agree with this, is that we are just trying to have a place to help teachers more, right? Because we get
better.
That's right. Yep. Because we answer questions all throughout the year, and we just feel like, man, it'd be great if somebody could sit down and actually teach teachers how to build a culture within their program, or how to run a communication with parents and admin, or finding the right equipment, right?
Absolutely. And what I want to emphasize here, if you know Zach and I, we do things from, you know, just the love of helping other people. We're really not in it for the glory or anything like that. So I just want people to know that you're going to come here. You're going to get our honest opinion. We're going to give you what we think is best for you to run your program. We're going to try to customize it as much as possible, but you're going to have to take what we give and, you know, make it your own. And hopefully you get to improve, grow, and maybe learn a thing or two while you're down here in beautiful South Florida in the summer.
That's right. I mean, having Miami as our backdrop, I feel like is the biggest draw.
Absolutely, man. And that little mixer we're going to do the night before, we're going to show the people out. We're going to show them what's up Miami's all about.
That's right. So I want to go through just the 3 days just to give everybody the kind of overview of the schedule. So the mixer Omar's talking about is July 17th. So it's that evening, about 6 p.m. We're going to meet at the Marriott Hotel in Dadeland, which is just a mile from Gulliver. And we're going to meet and kind of have a little happy hour and a mixer and get the teachers excited. And then our next 2 days, Omar, what can teachers expect from us?
Well, a lot from Miss McKinney, because she's the GOAT, right? But we're going to teach about culture, parent and admin communications. What I love, one of our sessions, we're going to be call it, it's not the wand, it's the wizard, right? Equipment, how to use your equipment, how to make it better, trading spaces, how to use your studio in multifaceted ways. A lot of stuff, man. It's going to be great. All of us have a different take on how we do this. We're veterans. We each have our own style, but hopefully you can maybe get something from each one of us and make it your own.
That's right. And a large part of what we're going to talk about after all those pieces is really day two, where we're talking all about using STN's contest and curriculum to really supercharge your kids and your program, and then learning how to really tap into their energy and train them on how to be leaders and run this with you and for you, right? Because ultimately, like, we can try to do everything all at once and all by ourselves, but we know that when you get the kids bought in, then they can actually help build this program alongside you. And it really is the magic, I would say, kind of STN, is when the kids are working towards something like convention or these contests, they feel this sense of urgency. They feel like there's there's something bigger than themselves that they're working towards.
And people think that going to convention and doing all this stuff is a lot more work, and it is work, but I promise you, it's a lot more work not to go to convention. Because trying to get kids to do work and meet standards and do all this stuff without a goal like convention is so much harder. Yeah, you might have to book a plane and get food and all that stuff. Yeah, that's difficult, but that becomes easy the more you do it. But trying to get kids motivated throughout the year without hanging that carrot in front of them, that is borderline impossible. So if you believe what we're saying, you'll see the results 100%.
Totally agree with that. And just the emphasis on the magic of STN is truly about the energy of your kids working together. But really, I would say more importantly, is the network of teachers. And so
yeah,
I think a big part of what we're trying to do here is bring everybody together and really help form that network. Because, you know, a lot of us feel like we're the only ones at our schools doing this. Some of us are blessed with two people at our school, but most are really the only ones at their school doing this type of work. And so to meet other people that are in the same spot as you, I feel like it's going to be awesome. And so one of those nights, what I'm looking forward to the most is the dinner event. We're going to go out and to a local spot, local favorite here in Miami, and kind of eat and see the water and all that stuff. And then really just have those organic conversations about what works best in each of our programs. And together we can hopefully find the best practices and be re-energized for the next year. Yes. So I wanted to just let you all know that there's a deadline of March 22nd to register for the Summer Advisor Workshop. It's $450 and it's on your dashboard. And if you've never gone to a PD session like this, I would strongly recommend you reach out to your administration or your district, because a lot of times they have professional development funds that can help pay for this. But that cost includes all the sessions, the both days. And then also we're providing snacks and coffee throughout both days as well. So that's all covered. And then your lunch both days is covered. And so you would need to book your hotel and your flight. But if you do that now, you can secure some pretty good pricing. And so after March 22nd, the price goes up for registration, just because we're trying to get our numbers in and make sure we're planning for the right number of people. And then, as Omar mentioned earlier, we will be sending out a survey to all the registered teachers to ask, what specifically do you need help with? Because we're going to tailor our sessions towards what you need. Because I think Omar, Karn, and I can probably talk all summer about
That's how it goes, man. We're teachers. We got to entertain some way, somehow, right?
That's right. Especially when it's us. I mean, I feel like we're entertained anyway. So that is that. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me, Karn, or Omar, and we can help guide you through this process. But don't lose sight of this early bird pricing. We'll also be talking about this at convention and at the teacher mixer at convention as well, which, by the way, people need to show up for the teacher mixer. Why should they come to the teacher mixer, Omar, besides seeing all of us?
It's a great way to network and get to know people from across the country. I mean, I've met a lot of people at those mixers and become very dear friends with them. And just because they're not in my backyard doesn't mean I can't share ideas and grow with them. So it really is an important part of convention for the teachers.
Absolutely. And I think this year there's a lot of giveaways that are happening at our teacher mixer. So we've got B&H and Black Magic and even some STN memberships. And I think ASB is doing something. And then we're also giving away one registration to this workshop this summer. So that could be a really cool opportunity for you to kind of get involved and again, just branch out of your comfort zone a little bit and network with teachers that do what you do. So that teacher mixer is the same time as both the student events, the student socials. So the middle school and high school parties that'll be separate are all happening at the same time. But the good thing is the middle school and high school parties are happening right outside the room that we'll be in. And so we're all going to kind of be in the same area, so teachers can just relax knowing that their kids are close. Chaperones of the groups will be attending the student socials, so that way there's some help with supervision, because having hundreds and hundreds of kids in one spot, we need some extra eyes on that. And
absolutely.
So broadcast and film teachers only will go to the mixer.
Can't wait, man. I can't wait to see everyone there. It's great.
That's right. So tell me, Omar, about our special guest we're bringing on today.
Well, Phil is a longtime STN board member. He is a veteran of everything that is STN. And he is a broadcast judge for convention, for challenge, for fall nationals. He judges a lot. And I've always wanted to talk to a judge to just get an idea of what, you know, what are they thinking? What are they looking for? So that's why we decided to bring them on and give them some, everyone, you know, pull the curtain behind and let everyone see what it's all about.
Yeah. And I think it's great so people can understand what specifically judges are looking for. And again, we're not like we're tailoring our stuff towards the judges, but it's good to know why the why behind it and why they're taking certain approaches, because Phil really shares a lot of details with us about the why. And so we're looking forward to hearing from Phil here. Ready, Omar?
Let's go.
All right.
All right. Hi, Phil. Welcome to the podcast. Before we get started, I wanted to introduce you to the audience. So you are Phil Berman. You've been with STN since 2013. Is that right?
Correct.
So that was your first convention. What convention was that, Omar?
That was
before me.
I'll tell you, it was Los Angeles. It was downtown Los Angeles. It was in the Bonaventure. And for people who are old enough to remember, that's the hotel that was featured in the sitcom It's a Living. So they worked, the waitresses worked at the top floor and there was a piano player. And so that was I call it the It's a Living Hotel.
I do know that was the year before I started STN. And the Crazy Eight winner that year was a group called Nightly News. And they had a reporter called Johnny Walker that did a report on popcorn. On a popcorn stand. And the only reason I knew that because before I went to Orlando the next year, I probably saw that one piece maybe 100, 200 times. So,
nice. So Phil, you're on our board of directors and you also judge for us, mainly broadcasting competitions, but you judge almost everything. Is that right? From challenge
Correct.
To nationals, conventions?
Everything. Name it, I'm judging it.
And you're a jack of all trades, right? Like you do a little bit of everything as well. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about your professional career, like what's your job title and where you're doing that in LA?
Okay, so now I'm a producer at KCAL News in Los Angeles, which is CBS News. It's a local entity. So we are KCAL and CBS, which is channels 9 and 2 if you're in the Los Angeles area. And I was a producer. Let's see, I started here I was in Miami before I was in LA. And then I worked at WFOR, Channel 4 in Miami. And then I was transferred out here in 2012. And when I came out here, I talked to Les Rose, which you guys may know.
Yes, we do.
And yes, I was like, because I was involved with FSPA heavily when I was in Florida. And even as a student, I mean, when I was 15 years old, I was at FSPA.
Right.
That was back in the 90s, for those of you who remember the 90s. So I moved out here in 2012 and got involved with STN, been a producer with CBS, out here since then. We launched a 7-hour morning show last January. And, as of that point, I was, kind of changed over to the full-time guest booker. So I still produce shows when needed, but I'm also, booking celebrities, booking talent, booking newsmakers for all of our shows. Just because I had those connections and I was kind of doing it already and we just needed someone to do it, you know, in a more full-time capacity. So I'm still producing, still doing my thing. And now I'm also producing guest segments and celebrities and all that fun stuff.
That's awesome. What a job. I mean, how many kids out there want to be Phil when he gets older? That's exactly what a lot of these kids want to do.
It's a job that I want to say created because I was always show producing, always doing shows. And then we always had a guest booker role at our station. It was just basically a production assistant who basically was just promoted to doing that. And at one point we had lost that person. He got a job as a reporter in Yuma, Arizona. And from then on, I don't know how I picked it up, but I was just like, do you want me to start doing this? And they're like, yeah, sure, if you want. And then that's really kind of how it happened. So
I'm so glad that you said that because I always tell teachers nowadays that we have to prepare these kids for a job that does not exist yet, you know? And people are like, I don't understand that. I'm like, because the way technology works, the way the TV business is working, the way broadcast is, we don't know what they're going to be reporting on and how they're going to be reporting on it. We just got to keep them, you know, entertained and interested in a wide variety of things so that they can kind of make their own jobs. So it's pretty cool that you did that.
I mean, stuff's going digital. They have to know digital. They have to know literally every facet of this industry. I mean, at this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we wanted to bring you on here because last year we interviewed Misha from Edit Mentor. And we talked about the film side of judging and all that stuff, but we want to talk about the broadcast side of it. And especially since we're all going to be in Long Beach together. we got questions for you. You mind answering some judging questions for broadcast?
I always said that we should do a workshop right at the beginning of convention titled What the Judges Are Looking For, because it's so important, because like kids are making the same mistakes year after year. And it's just like, y'all, like there are some easy things to fix. And I am here to tell you what those are.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, as a veteran, I learned that the hard way, because I would have to go to a convention, get the judges' feedback, write it all down, and remember it a whole year to implement it the following year. Zach has the benefit of being a good friend of mine, so he gets the wisdom that I have accumulated over the years.
Some call it wisdom. Others have other words for it. But yeah, before we get started, Phil, I actually have a few segments of mine that I want you to watch, and then we can talk privately about the feedback before we can... I'm just kidding. So Phil, let's start with your, at least your first experience with judging. So we can go to any of these type of contests, but I want to start with convention since that's the closest, right? So Crazy Eights, we know that this is probably, I would argue, the most challenging contest that STN offers. And really, I'd even go as far as to say that it's probably one of the most challenging broadcast contests out there. Because you have to build an entire show, including all the stories, from scratch at the beginning of a day. And I guess some journalists have told me that's just a normal work day, which humbles me when it says that. But what's your initial take from judging Crazy Eights? Like, what are some of the common themes you see that students might miss and maybe even do well that they should continue?
I mean, I can tell you, just as a whole, just like what I'm looking for just in any entry, because I think it kind of just, you know, runs the gamut with like, if I'm going to tell you, okay, you need to do this, because Crazy Eights, there's so much. I mean, listen, the first thing that, I mean, when they're anchoring or like doing a report or, you know, they're the face of the entry, dress the part, like look the part. I love when they do stand-ups and I guess just stand-ups. I guess I love when they do that in different locations. It's just super cool. It just adds just something, just takes it up a notch versus someone who's going to do it in their hotel room. And again, I'm the guy who did his group, you know, news anchor contest in 1996 in my hotel room with my TV crew. So it just looks cool because you're in Long Beach. I mean, you have so many cool different backgrounds that you can use. Use them and look the part.
Absolutely. I can't agree with you more. And what's difficult about that, once you start doing that for many years, you got to start realizing that it's not only the location that you're using, but also the environment. Because I remember 2 years ago, we were in a beautiful beachside area, but airplanes kept on flying over us. And my kids were like, we couldn't get a shot because every 10 minutes there was another plane coming and it would mess up our standups. So, I mean, that's just from experience and wisdom, I guess. But yeah, I love it when I see people in different locations for their standups. It really adds something to the production of their show.
Yeah. And I would say that these skills, and we've talked about this before, Omar, but these skills that they're learning, I mean, dress the part. I mean, how many other industries does that apply to? Right. So when you're talking to these parents with teachers and all that, and you're trying to figure out how to sell this program, I mean, these skills that they're learning here within these contests are going to help them in any industry.
Let's break down the show, Phil, for you as a judge. Some people do longer form stories. Some people do a lot of short stories back to back to back. Some people throw a commercial in there. Some people will throw like a funny skit, depending if it's a morning show or a news mag. What are some of the things that really stand out for you for the content, or like what they're creating? What is it what you're looking for?
Something that I'm not expecting. There was one group 1 year who added in, I mean, they had commercials, which were fun. They had the stories, they had the stand-ups, all that stuff. They had a band. They had a band performance and they tossed the band performance live. It was so cool. Like, I was not expecting that. It was like a morning show. It's like, now we have so-and-so here, you know, performing, and they had the guitars and the drums, and it was years ago. It was so, so cool. Something that I would say that I'm not about is the MOS. I remember one year, one group of kids just went around and started talking to people. Yeah. And another time it was San Diego, Omar. We were talking about San Diego before, and they were interviewing homeless people just like on the streets about stuff. And you could tell they were homeless people, and, you know, love homeless people. That's great. But, you know, like, I don't know if that's, I don't want to call it like a cop out or what, but they were just like, you know, sleeping outside the hotel and they're talking to him for, you know, crazy eights. And I'm like, I don't know if that kind of, it's like read the room kind of thing. I don't know if that was really the best place to put that, those interviews.
And also to me, it's kind of like low hanging fruit, a man on the street, because you don't really have to prepare for that. You don't really have to, you just go out there and react. I like the stories. Yeah. I like to see the schools that actually went out there and found something that was difficult. That was, wow. I wasn't expecting this story to come from these people. I think the most ambitious thing I have ever pulled off with my students, and actually we did this for 3 years in a row. Here's a little inside information. If you go back to 2019 in Seattle, we did it at, in Atlanta. We did it in Anaheim and we did it in Nashville, but we couldn't figure it out. So I wanted to do three segments, but I had four teams and I had one team that went out there to copy Steve Hartman and Les Rose's Everybody Has a Story, right? And for 2 years in a row, we were out there and the kids couldn't get anyone to agree. And in Seattle, Washington, we got this person to say yes. And we did a Everybody Has a Story right on about them. And it ended up being like the kicker to our show. And when we got it, like when I came back, I was like, I don't know if we're going to win or not, but this is the most ambitious thing I've ever seen in a Crazy Eight. And it ended up paying off. But it took me 3 years to get one segment. So that just goes to show you, like, when the schools that have been preparing and having ideas of what they wanted to do, that's the level where the top schools are at.
Something that I can add that judges don't like to see is when you can tell that the segments or stories are pre-planned. So, which you're not supposed to do. So if you're, you know, sitting here like, you know, this week and you're, you know, calling around, you know, to whatever city officials, you know, are around and planning those stories out, that's against the rules.
Absolutely. So, yep. Yeah, and it's written now in the bylines that you're not allowed to do that. So it's literally against the rules to do that. I will tell you this, though, and Shonda has made this clear. There's a difference between pre-planning and knowing your area. Like, so example, if you have a list of city officials, of emails, of Instagrams and all that stuff, that's all within fair play. The second you contact them and start scheduling stuff, now you've broken the rules. So there's a fine line between being prepared and pre-planning. So, yeah,
there's
you add to that.
No, I guess it's more like, you know, I don't even know how to say it, but like you have the prompt, say the prompt is, you know, a rainy day. So you have to work off that prompt, not make the prompt work for you, if that makes sense.
Correct.
So it's not like, you know, you've already set up your city official. Okay. Now we're, you know, it's you kind of have
we're gonna
to
make
it.
That prompt work into exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it is difficult. Let me ask you a question. And being in Long Beach 3 years, I'm really like struggling with the kids this year because I feel that, you know, I kind of know Long Beach now. I've been there already. This is going to be my third year. We have prior contacts of people that we have done, you know, stories on before. I kind of tell my kids, if we've done it before in a prior convention, it's off the market. You know, like we can't use it again. But if we wanted to go, like, let's say we interviewed a guy at a smoothie shop. And we knew that guy had a cool story, but we never told it. Maybe we can now build on that and have him introduce us to someone else this year. See, that can work. As long as you're not calling him a month before and being like, hey, remember us? Sure. If you call him the day of and say, hey, last year we interviewed you, do you mind giving us some, you know, and that's a good outlet for new schools, especially, and for schools that have been going there. That's how you use your contacts, not the other way around. Zach, what do you think? I mean, I know you're more of a rookie to this than all of us. This is your third or fourth STN?
Fourth one I've registered for.
Right. Yeah, because you have COVID. The COVID year.
No, I want to go back to the shows because I still, you know, from someone who didn't come from news, I know Omar didn't either. I mean, a lot of this stuff we've had to learn on our own, right? We just like we learn by seeing and trying to absorb all this. So breaking down stories specifically, let's talk about this. So you've got feature stories, right? And we know feature stories are supposed to have a central character and you're supposed to build the story around them. What do you like to see in some of your favorite feature stories in the Crazy Eights that you've judged? Like, what are some of the elements that stick out to you that really scream like this is a solid piece?
I mean, I'll tell you what just in general, what I'm looking for is a technically good entry, like one where students use a tripod. Obviously, unless it's like a point of view shot or something, one where audio isn't all over the place, one where there's no black holes or jump cuts and students actually watched the entry before submitting it. You'd be surprised how many entries are technically not good because there's black holes, there's jump cuts, the things are spelled wrong. I mean, I'm such a grammar stickler that I will read every single super and every single full screen and look for spelling errors because that's kind of my job. That's what I do every day. Like I just submitted an Emmy entry for Los Angeles Emmys this past month, and I watched it 3 times to make sure it was technically perfect. Just because I'm going there. And I don't know what the rules are because I know they're different for each contest, but, if it says don't, show any shots of the hotel in your entry, then don't show any shots of the hotel. There was one contest years ago. I want to say could have been Orlando, and it was don't show any shots of the hotel. And the first shot you see is, Marriott Orlando. And it's like, no, you can't do that. So read the instructions, read the, prompt, make sure you understand it. If you don't ask questions, follow directions.
Yeah. So I love that. So let me dive deeper into that piece. So, because you said you do it, you book a lot of guests on the shows that you work on, right? So how could you, to set up for one of these feature stories, like what are some of your tips to make the guest feel as comfortable as possible? Because we know that a strong interview subject will be at least somewhat comfortable before the interview begins because the reporter has done their job to do that.
I mean, what we tell everyone every day is never look at the camera. Always look at the reporter or the anchor. And I mean, it kind of works with us because I'm in a studio with no camera operators. Everything's robotic. So there's like not a crew of 200 standing around watching. So you just need to make sure that you take, if it's an interview subject, just make sure that person is comfortable where they are. I mean, if it's in their, business, great. It's in their business. They feel comfortable there. If, you want to take them outside to a park, great. I mean, kind of whatever they feel comfortable with, and just make sure they are comfortable with you, the reporter and the anchor. We try not to give questions ahead of time to our, interview subjects, but, sometimes they may be like, what are you going to ask me? And my answer is, we will never ask you something that you don't know the answer to. So we're not going to ask you the fundamental theorem of calculus. We're, going to ask you, tell us about your business and why you're struggling.
Right. Right. Yeah, you just want them to tell their story because that's what we do as journalists, right? We just want to tell the truth. Phil, I have a question for you. Okay, so I get this a lot as a mentor of teachers, right? And they're always like, what's the biggest difference between morning show and news magazine? And I always tell them, when you think morning show, think GMA, think Today Show. When you think news magazine, I want you to think like Dateline or 60 Minutes. But I also tell them the stories and the way you're going to present yourself has to change. Like, you're not going to see on Today's Show, unless something serious happened across the country, they're not going to go for a serious tone. They try to keep it light because it's morning, unless it's something that, tapping around the country that they have to talk about. Like Savannah Guthrie she's going to keep it light and she's going to keep her guests, having a good time. And if they're going to report on something, they're going to toss at somebody. For the news magazine, I'm looking for a more serious tone, maybe a little bit more in-depth reporting. But I also tell people for morning show, you can have more fun with it, like the band, like you said earlier. I wouldn't think that band would work in a news magazine program, but it would work in the morning show. But like, for example, a commentary like Andy Rooney at the end of 60 Minutes, that might work in a news magazine. I still think it's a little bit low-hanging fruit. I can see why people still do it now, but it fits in that genre. Am I right in what I'm telling these people, or do you have anything else to add on that?
That's your answer. I mean, our news director, our boss, just said that he doesn't want guys to wear ties anymore on the morning show because morning show's a lot looser. We have a lot more fun. News magazine is 60 Minutes. I mean, you're sitting there in a suit and tie, on a stool in front of a, dark background talking about, whatever, hard news topic there is. And I'm not saying we don't do hard news on the morning show, because of course we are.
Right.
But, we also, it's a lot lighter. I mean, people are, you don't want to wake up in the morning and turn on your TV and like, 7 people are dead downtown and there's a whole shooting. I mean, yeah, we have to report it, but it's like, we don't want to do so much bad news in the morning where people are waking up, they're getting ready for work, their kids are in the room, they're trying to get their kids ready, they're making lunches. We also try to deliver the news in the morning in a, I would say, quicker manner, because people don't have that time to sit in front of the TV. In most cases, they're just, it's on, you know, in the background. You know, they're just listening while they're doing stuff, brushing their teeth, making the bed, you know, getting people out the door.
So would you say for the morning show, like you wouldn't mind seeing maybe three or four quick hitting pieces on maybe the local bakery that's doing some good for the community, like something like that. But for the news magazines, maybe two packages, maybe three, but they're a little bit longer. The story's told a little bit slower. Is that what you would suggest?
100%. Oh, no, and not necessarily packages in the morning. Like, why can't it be Vosats, you know, right, something quicker? Why can't it be three VOs? You know, I mean, there's this thing in TV where not everything has to be a package.
Mm. Yeah.
That's something to, you know, just another way of creatively telling a story. I mean, you can have, you know, full screens, you can have, you know, pictures, graphics. I mean, I know we're in a video medium, so it's video, but I mean, if you have compelling pictures of a car crash that we don't have video for, we'll show them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, anything. Yeah. Like that. It's news mornings are just so much lighter than, has to have a lighter feel. And like we start our show at 4 a.m. and by 11, we go lighter and lighter and lighter just through the morning, just so you can kind of, there's a progression of, you know, we kind of loosen up.
I wish I had this when I first started. I wish I had this when I first started. I mean, this would have made me feel so much more at ease as a brand new teacher hearing you say that as a judge, because I remember starting off and I didn't know what I didn't know until I did it. This is such, and by the way, for our audience out there, like I'm looking at Zach right now and he's taking notes like you wouldn't believe. Like he's literally, he's burning the paper right there in front of him. This is great stuff.
Yes. Yes, it is. Well, you know, I did take one journalism class in college, but I feel like I'm learning more here. I do remember one thing from that class. It was talking about the Toasties rule, I think, which is what you're referring to, Phil, which is basically like, what are people going to want to watch while they're eating their Toasties in the morning?
There you go. That's it. Oh my God. I can throw something else. So we have a noon show. And when I used to produce the noon show, I would always be cognizant of not putting stories in where, you know, involving cockroaches or, you know, anything that would, like if someone's, I have to think of who's eating lunch at that point.
Yeah.
And if you're eating lunch, watching my show, I don't want to put anything that's going to like gross you out. So you have to be cognizant of that as well.
That's smart.
Yeah.
I like that. So let's go into show stacking, because I feel like, because these are the notes I'm just trying to take down here. But when you've got a show like, you know, any typical show, and specifically for Crazy Eights, how would you order your pieces? And are they different for a morning show versus a news mag?
I mean, that depends. I mean, you're going to obviously, you know, we're stacking with our hardest news first and then going from there. But I mean, if you're just going to do all light packages, light is light. I don't know if there's a right or wrong way to do that. For news magazine, I think same deal. Even like 60 Minutes, at the end of 60 Minutes, they had, I mean, back in the day, it was Andy Rooney. And yep. he would do his, they would always end on like the kicker. It was just him sitting in his office, you know, talking about some, you know, crazy thing happening. So it's always... So, different news directors have different styles. And I've had news directors... you know, say every good newscast deserves a kicker. And others are like, you know, don't waste the time. So it's kind of like, you know, personal preference, but just ending on a good note is always positive.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Like it, I think the kicker in a news magazine has to be something creative and fun, because you don't want to just bring it out of nowhere, you know? Yeah. I think, like, I thought when you just said that about the band, I mean, that's so genius. Like, how many of our kids at STN know how to play guitar? Yeah. They can actually bring a guitar and do like a little house band there. That's what an addition to a morning show that would be. It's great. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I'll tell you something else, and don't know how many people will listen to this and steal the idea, but I've never seen a cooking segment.
Zach, what did
I got my so pen right here. Got my pen right here.
I do news magazines, so I've been telling Zach, I go, think of something different, like bring an electric stove with you, or buy one when you're there and make something inside the hotel room. No one's going to do that. And he was like, yeah, it's just really difficult to do that in a hotel room. I go, yeah, that's why it's going to be awesome.
I honestly don't know if there are rules against doing that in a hotel room. I don't know if that would have to be moved to like a common area I'm not sitting here advocating for cooking in your hotel room.
Yeah, there might be a lot of fire alarms going off this year at in these hotel rooms now that they hear this.
To all our affiliates, don't do that inside the hotel room. STN doesn't. But a local park, go for it.
Use an outside grill.
I also thought, one of my favorite things to see in like the morning show and today show is when they bring in someone that says the hottest trends that are in electronics or in fashion.
We love that. Yeah,
I love that. Yes. I think that would be a great addition.
I mean, I'm just throwing this out there, but the Sunday before STN is the Oscars. So it could be fun to have someone do a look back at the Oscars best fashion segments, and let's go through a video and let's go through pictures and let's do that because that's easy.
Well, that's okay. So for everyone out there, I think that's a great idea, but you got to figure a creative way of bringing that video in because everything's supposed to be shot during the 8 hours.
Right. I should have said that, but I wonder how pictures would, because you couldn't use the video, but I guess pictures you could use, right? Because you just pull them from online.
Well, the way it says it in the bylines is as long as it's not overused and it's not copyright, you could do it. So like you're using two or three pictures throughout your stuff, like to show some background, that's fine. But if you're just one after the other, then the judges will probably deduct points.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's just a, I don't know. You don't have to do an Oscar segment. It could be something else, but you know, it's topical.
Or you could do something like, hey, let's remake Beyonce's red carpet look here at this store and on a budget and something. And that's how you. I should maybe switch to morning shows. Like,
That's a great. That's really. Yeah.
We're full of our morning show, actually.
I like the challenge of News Magazine because one, we're an all boys school and it's difficult for my boys to get that that fun, light feeling sometimes. They just want to be like serious and just say what they got to say. But it's also, it kind of misses out on the creativity. I'm the creative one out of me and my partner, Christina. She's like the more journalistic, like very stickler to the rules. And it's always a balance between the two of us. How can we make this news magazine entertaining and different, but also stick to the core of what a news mag is? And morning show is just, it's fun, man.
One thing I just thought of is, and this is also kind of when I'm watching like, you know, challenges or nationals or any of those, is that I love when a school, and again, depending on the rules, leaves their school to find the story. For example, if you're going to do your entire morning show in the hotel lobby, I would be probably more, I would give higher marks to a school that went out in the city, you know, and, you know, did it in a park or did it, you know, in different locations, you know, from the seaside or I don't know this year what the qualifications are going to be and if you can leave the hotel or how far you can go. I would rather see a story about, you know, a struggling business in downtown Long Beach that's been there for 20 years and may not make rent, you know, next month versus a hotel maid who's been there or housekeeper who's been there for 20 years because that's an easy story. I mean, that's on your floor where you can actually leave the hotel and get a story and go find that story.
So just to clarify for our audience, for Crazy Eight, there's no boundaries. You can go wherever you want, right?
And right,
for
correct.
The general contest at convention, there is, it's not a boundary, but it's kind of a map where they suggest you stay within. But again, it's, if you want to leave it, you can. It's just think that it might be too far for you to get back in time to edit. So I just want to make sure everyone knows the rules when they're out there. But I mean, for Crazy Eight, the sky's the limit. You can do it pretty much anywhere you want, as long as you have the time to come back.
Yeah. And listen, a lot of TV is just time management. Yeah. I mean, I work, my life is deadline. I know where I have to, you know, what I have to hit by 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m. I know exactly where I have to be. And that's my day. So it's just all time management. Don't waste time and you'll be great. Yeah.
Get it done. Absolutely. I got questions for you. I got questions for challenge because I honestly love challenge. At Columbus, we start preparing for challenge, I would say like 2-3 months before. And I tell my kids, I want a list of 30, 40 stories that possibly we could tell. But just, you know, if the prompt somewhere somehow fits one of these stories, we know, hey, well, let's reach out to this person right away.
Sure.
But I always like the stories, especially for challenge, that leave you wanting more. Like, man, I wish I could another minute of that story. That's the key. Like we were doing, and I think it's a lot more difficult with some like Nat Package. I think it's really hard to do that because you don't have a voiceover or anchor pushing it along. But for like sports, for feature, all those things, find a story that's so interesting that I honestly see things and challenge. And I sometimes think, all right, the production wasn't as good as the second or third place, but the story was so amazing. I can understand why it won first. I think middle school this year, and the only reason I'm bringing this up because I'm married to the woman that came in second place. So she's like, I don't need the production. I was like, yeah, but that story that won first place, baby, it got you. It literally tells us on our trophies, tell the story. It says it on all the plaques that we give out. So what can you elaborate on that a little bit, Phil? What do you think?
I mean, listen, I can tell the difference between a school who put 2 hours into an entry and a school who put 2 weeks into an entry. Right. There was like, again, I always say, like, I was talking to Shonda about this. I told her, I said, some of the best entries I've ever seen are entries that I didn't get the first time. Like, I'd watch it and I'd be like, what is happening? And then the second and third time I watched it, I was like, this is brilliant. And there was a school, and this was the year before 2019, whatever the 2019, I want to say, right, it was either a fall or spring national. And it was for, I don't remember what it was, if it was a music video or what, but I do have it bookmarked in my YouTube because it was fascinating. And it was just like this underground party where it was just shot in one take. And I had no clue what was happening. And then after it ended, I was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's awesome.
So don't be afraid to be creative. Like I told Shonda going back, I said, like, make me tear up. Oh, yeah. Like, make me get emotional. Like, I love that. I mean, I love a good reveal. There was a entry, I don't remember what contest it was. I think it was for the last contest. And it was about a golfer who had one arm, or who has one arm.
Right.
And they waited for the reveal. I mean, like, you just saw him playing golf and I was like, okay, like, this is great. Guy playing golf. And I'm like, oh my God, he only has one arm. Like, he's just a phenom. And I love that reveal. I love a good reveal.
Yeah. So let me actually ask you about that, because Omar and I talk a lot about like how to build these stories up. Right. And Omar's expression is always like, peel the onion back, right? Peel the layers back.
Absolutely.
But then I've also talked to people that have said, well, I mean, people's attention spans are so short. Like, it's hard. Like, if you want to bury something, like, it's got to be so good you bury it, because you're going to lose people up front anyway. So like, how do you find a balance between those two?
I mean, you don't have to wait forever for the reveal. I mean, I think, you know, if it comes, you know, 45 seconds to a minute into a piece, I mean, that's great. If you can do it sooner, great. But yeah, the onion's a great metaphor.
I like to do that. I like to slowly reveal everything, because it is it's a cool technique, but also it tells you, like, everybody wants to get, you know, the sick person and tell a story on that, because that's easy. But if you get those stories, I mean, awesome, bravo, and I get it. But it's, tell me the story about the person at your school that is also a black belt in jiu-jitsu and no one knew it, you know? And those are the kind of stories that I think are really cool to tell, because everybody has that at their school, everyone has that in their community, that secret person that just comes out of nowhere and surprises the hell out of you. When you tell that story the right way, I think it's really impactful. I will tell you, I prepare my students differently for challenge as I do for convention. Everything that we do preparing for challenge, we actually end up submitting for fall nationals, and then everything we end up doing preparing for convention, we end up submitting for spring nationals. But I prepare my kids for challenge. We watch a lot of Steve Hartman, we watch a lot of Mike Castellucci, you know, stuff like that. Those slow storytellers that really, I mean, I can't watch Steve Hartman without tearing up, because he's just such an amazing storyteller, right?
Master.
He's the best, right? So, but then for convention, we kind of watch more local news. We kind of watch more of our local storytellers, a lot of online media influencers. We kind of see like Vice News and stuff like that, the way they tell those stories. And we try to condense them in a shorter amount of time, because convention is, it hits you. How are you going to get this done? But then challenge is more long form storytelling, and how do you pull it out? And I really think training your kids that way, I've told people a lot of times, like, we have an amazing curriculum at STN. We say it all the time. Josh does an awesome job with it. But the best curriculum, I think, for STN is preparing for challenge and fall nationals, and then preparing for convention and spring nationals. Because while you're doing that, you're teaching them all the fundamentals of everything you would want to teach them in class, but you're doing it in a way that's
fun for them. Now it's a goal. Now it's a challenge, you know, win, lose, or draw, whatever you do, a convention, challenge, whatever, you're going to get great feedback. But that journey that you took to get there, that's what it's all about.
It's really inspiring, to be honest with you. Like, I see some of the stuff that we produce and I'm like, we're in good hands. Whether these kids end up being in the industry or going off to do something else, the creativity to just come up with some of the stuff that they come up with. I mean, I see it with my kids. I'm impressed by them all the time. But then I always tell them whenever they create something great, I'm like, this is just a drop in the bucket at STN, because there are schools like that at every – you're passing by people in that convention and they're all like you. They're thinking that, and the creativity level is through the roof. It's really impressive. I'm going to be honest with you.
I mean, to think where I was, I mean, when I was a student in the 90s, we had Panasonic Slim Cams with the VHS. You'd put the VHS tape right in there. And we had no, like when you're out at FSPA, you have no editing. We would literally have to edit in the camera using play, record, and, you know, fast forward. And so kids now have so much better technology and they have such a leg up on like where our generation was. I mean, they're literally carrying around laptops editing. Like, I'm like, it's crazy. And like the equipment they have and the steady cams and like, oh my God, the cameras, everything's so cool. Like everything's like on a memory card. We're carrying like VHS tapes around with us.
Okay, Phil. So let's shift to NAT package. So have you judged NAT package before?
Of course. I love NAT packages.
So tell me what you love about them.
I love, first of all, I mean, there's no way of getting your grammar wrong because there's no track. So that's fantastic. But I love them because I love Nat Sound. Nat Sound just had so much to a piece. And as a producer, I never really got this until I would say like my second job, because all the VOs I would edit for air would just be like, I just take all the audio out and it's just VO. And my anchors, my reporters would come to me and be like, why aren't you using Nats? And I'm like, wait, what do you mean? And they're showing me how to like add Nats and Nats full. And I was like, oh my God, this changes my pieces. Like as a reporter, I was a reporter in my first job. And I'm like, this changes the game. So I love the sounds of, you know, birds. I love the sounds of, you know, traffic. I love the sound of cooking. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, may not be able to do that at STN, but at convention, but, you know, like sounds of cooking in the kitchen or sounds, actually you could, because if you do a story on a local restaurant, start with a sizzle the bacon on the, you know, griddle. So you could do so much with that sound.
There's a lot of kids that hate NAT packages because it's hard. It really is.
It's the toughest. It's one of the toughest categories.
Yeah, because getting someone to say something that you can use is so much harder than just saying, oh, I can explain that with a VO, or I could explain that with you know, something else. But getting them to say something, and on top of that, finding the NAT sounds that match what they're saying. But I truly believe that if you can master NAT packages, you're going to be an excellent storyteller when you can add your VO, because just think about it. If you're excellent at getting people to say what you need them to say and how you need them to say it, when you add your track and when you add your piece to it, you're just enhancing it already. So I love NAT packages. It's one of the things that I refuse to ever not do, whether it's a challenge or a convention. I think we should do a NAT package segment for fall and spring nationals as well, because I think kids would want to do it more. But it really is. It's such a great learning tool for teachers.
And so one of the ways I've tried to like translate some of this for my kids is, I was like, there's a difference between a NAT pop and then like an ambient pop, because sometimes they'll just record environment noise and like, yeah, that's sound, but like, is that a real hard hitting sound that relates to the story? Do you have an experience with that, Phil, like trying to like differentiate like when you use each one?
I think it just kind of depends on each story. I mean, like, obviously if you do a story, you know, you're going to want Nat sound throughout the entire piece on low. Like, for example, if you have someone, I mean, let's not say we're Nat packs, and let's say it's a, you know, a woman, a server, a waitress at a restaurant, and she's talking and she's giving a soundbite about, you know, whatever she's talking about. Like under it, you can have, you know, the ambient noise of the people in the background, you know? So, I mean, you kind of, like I've judged entries. Well, again, let me go back again. One of the biggest issues that doing a NAT pack is getting those levels correct. So that's going to like Zach, what you're saying, because sometimes the NATs will just overpower, you know, someone talking, and, you know, students have to watch those levels and make sure that, you know.
One of the things I tell my students is like, you've got to like solo out each one of those tracks. And so you
exactly. Yes. Yes.
So, and so you got to, so for teachers that don't have a multi-track timeline, you got to just mute those other sound tracks so you can understand. Yeah. Like if you've got that sound, like it's not hitting the dialogue levels. Because then, I mean, and I see a lot of packages in my students too. Like they'll do that and they'll bring it back and they'll be like, "How's this story?" And it's like all your sound's the same volume. Like we talked about this.
And also watch out for like what Omar was saying about the planes. And just like stuff that like you really can't control. I was at a station in Oklahoma, and one of the sports reporters did a story about, you know, whatever he was doing. And he tracked the story, I think, in a Walmart parking lot. Oh, and in the background, it was not a good decision. In the background, you could hear the Salvation Army bell ringer.
Oh, no.
And so through the entire track, you just heard the bell ringer. And so at the end, when we came out to the anchor in the studio for the tag, he's like, "Well, I hope he gave some money to the Salvation Army that day." And we all kind of chuckled because we knew what he was talking about. So you kind of have to, you know, just be prepared for things you can't control and, you know, adapt it to your surroundings.
Know your environment. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a little rundown for our audience so that they understand what Phil's looking for as a broadcast judge. Tripods. You said it multiple times. And I mean, it's hard for me to understand that, but I guess if you're saying it, you must be seeing a lot of people shoot freehand and thinking that they're good at it. Audio, which I think is probably one of the most important things you could do on the production side of it, because if your audio is bad, I don't care what kind of story you're telling, it's going to be too distracting for me to even pay attention. And if you're looking for stories, we want to try to make someone cry or feel some kind of emotion so that you feel attached to those packages. Am I good there? Is that a good summary of what we've been talking about?
Also, if you're going to do supers, like lower thirds, CGs, Chirons, whatever you guys call them, every market I go to, it's a different word. Make sure everything is spelled correctly, especially on full screens. Especially, I've judged so many weather casts that they misspell partly cloudy. They misspell sunny. I mean, watch your entries 3 times before you submit it. Make sure there's no black holes, no jump cuts. It's so easy. And I can't award, I saw this one entry that was one of the most incredible entries. And like the first thing in there was spelled wrong. And there was a black frame of black. I'm like, I can't give first place to that. Like it just, I can't.
Right.
So it's just so easy just to make those mistakes, but it's so easy to correct them as well and to catch them before you submit.
I'd probably even throw in there like capitalization too, because sometimes like
grammar, that's all grammar things.
Like you got to make sure.
I mean, like here's a way to get around that is at CBS this year or last year, we went all caps. So we have no upper lowercase anymore. So literally I write supers in upper and lower and you can't tell because on air it's all uppercase. So that's if genius. You stick to like that an all uppercase, it's a great
that's pretty good.
They're using that. That's genius. Absolutely.
I still feel like my old English teacher where she's like writing caps and then you're yelling at me. So it's like, I gotta, but I guess if you make it look nice on screen, then everything's in caps, then it all makes sense.
So for our audience out there, listen, we understand in Crazy 8 or in these convention contests, you're up against it and you might just want to export it to submit something in there. We get it. But there's no reason for your challenge pieces. There's no reason for your fall and spring national pieces. Look them over before you submit them. Like look them over, check the grammar and everything. I guess, Phil, are you okay? Like you have a little leeway. I mean, their points are going to be taken out, but you could understand it at least at convention because someone might have just turned it in at the last second. But for challenge and for fall and spring nationals, there's really no excuse. Right. Yeah. I mean, what I try to do is I don't really think it's a crazy 8. I think it's a crazy 6.5 is the way I tell my kids.
Because
you need about an hour to look it over, fix all the mistakes, and then another half hour to make sure you uploaded it the right way, which sounds crazy. But I mean, think about it. That's a regular workday for a journalist. Like if you're out there, you got to probably turn around a story in 3 and 4 hours. You don't really get 8 hours. You know, you got to get it to your production unit in time so they can add it to the show and do all that stuff. So.
That's right.
I mean, again, this is not everybody, but we have this one reporter. She's so fantastic. And she would get to a story at 10 o'clock in the morning and she would be live on my show at 11 and we would plan for a live VOSOT with her. She would always have a mini package and she would call me and go, "I'm going to have a mini package." 2.5 minutes later, her mini package is in. I'm like, how did you do that in like an hour? That's crazy. Some people are just... Yeah. You know, and listen, there was another reporter I worked with at this market. He's now retired and he never wrote a script. He would literally just talk into his microphone and that would be his track for the whole piece. he was a brilliant storyteller. Again, that's not everybody, but yeah, in the real world, I mean, some reporters are doing two, and I've seen three stories a day just because they're moving to breaking news. They're going somewhere else. They're, you know.
And when people tell you that it's, oh, crazy, it's just, it's unrealistic for these kids to do it. I mean, that's industry standard. And when we used to do Sweet 16 back in the day, that's just just working a double. That's all it was. It's working a double, and everybody has done it. I mean, overtime is overtime, but in the news industry, working a double is, all right, it's 2 days in one. And Crazy Eight, I tell kids all the time, I'm like, yeah, you're exhausted, but this is what your life is going to be like if you're out there, whether you're a producer, whether you're a reporter, whether you're a cameraman, whatever it is, this is what life is going to be. So it's a great way to prepare you for that.
Yeah. I'm gonna throw one more question in here, and I think it might open a can of worms, but it might also leave for an interesting next podcast. What's your take and feelings on AI and journalism?
Ooh, I love it.
I don't know if I have enough information yet. I mean, like, it could be the downfall of journalism because of just, I mean, and I don't want to say the downfall of journalism, but the downfall of jobs, just because, you know, you essentially now can have these, you know, AI generated people, I guess, read your news. So is there going to be a place for anchors and reporters? I don't know. I mean, I hope it's not. I mean, you're still going to need people to do things. You know, I mean, they said that there's a program now that you can, like, just, you know, put in, like, you know, wire copy, and it will, you know, deliver you a script that anchors can read. So, okay, well, then what are producers going to do now? Well, like, who's going to put that stuff in the computer? And is the stuff going to be factual, and is it going to be accurate? I don't know. I mean, yeah, this is just kind of starting off.
It's a wild, wild west. It really is. Yeah. We don't know. But I'm glad we're finishing with this, because this is going to bring us back to right where we started, where we are preparing these kids for jobs that don't exist. So I really believe that journalism is important. These kids have to do a job. The way that we're doing it in the future might not be the way that we're doing it now, but what they're doing is important. What the teachers are doing is important. And organizations like STN are important because it prepares them in a fun way for what's next.
I really believe it. 100%. I mean, what other experience do you get to simulate a pressured environment to be able to produce something on a deadline? I mean, those are skills that are invaluable.
Yep.
And I do it every year. I'm sure I'll be doing it again this year. I always do a session about, like, you know, how to get your first job in TV and what that looks like and how to prepare in high school and college. And just going through, like, where I was at a student at 15 at FSPA in 95 to like now in the number two market in the country and how I got there. So if kids listening to this want to show up, it's always a great session. And I talk about all the tips and, you know, stuff that we haven't even talked about here today.
Absolutely. We're going to have to bring you back and just do a whole other podcast on that. Cause I think that's something
too. I would absolutely love to. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Phil, I don't want to take that much of your time. We've been talking for about an hour, and we really appreciate your time. Can't wait to see you in, I think, like,
what, 30
days? Yeah. We're going to be over there
very soon.
Welcome. Yes.
Thank you so much for your time, and you gave us some great insights. So we really appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me. Yes.
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate it.
I'll see you in Long Beach.
All right. Yeah. See you then.
So, Zach, what do you think? You know a little bit more? You feel a little bit more comfortable now for convention and competing with your kids?
I think I got a few more tools in my tool belt.
I mean, Phil gave us a wealth of knowledge, and I'm so grateful for him, and I'm so thankful for all the information I just got. I didn't know a lot of that stuff, so it is a pleasure to have him. It's a pleasure to do another podcast with you, my friend. Thank you for coming on.
That's right. Well, you know, any chance I get, like I say, Omar, any chance I get to you, it's always a good time.
But 1% better, baby. 1% better every day.
Well, again, we want to thank Phil and of course, all his years of service to STN. He's really a true asset, even, I mean, well beyond just judging content for our contest. But Omar, we've got some really big things coming up. So convention is just a few days away. I think
that's right.
I think I'm just going to go ahead and start camping out at the airport and make sure I can get on.
I'm actually packing. I'm packing right now. I'm separating some clothes. You know, I got to look fresh as death out there.
Are you?
All right, man. Let's do it.
I'm not sure that suitcase looks empty. You probably should.
Gotta fill it up.
That's right. Are you getting your outfits ready for STN? Because I feel like
I am, man. I actually pack for day by day, so I don't have to think about it. I just grab whatever's next and I go.
You know, what a smart concept. Because for me, I just feel like, let me give me some options while I'm over there, and then that I end up taking too much.
I don't got the mental capacity for that. I just want to grab and go, grab and go.
Well, we are excited to see all of our friends out there at, in Long Beach, California. And of course, we're looking forward again to coming over to the East Coast the year after that for Tampa.
That's right.
That's right. It's right in our backyard, Omar. I don't know if they're ready for that.
I don't think so, man. Florida's a weird place, man. There's a reason why they call it Florida, man. Everyone will have to find out.
Wait, are you the Florida man?
I might have been in a couple of those articles. I ain't going to lie to you. Come on. All right, now let's do it.
I love it. So after convention, we got a few exciting things happening. We got Spring Nationals. Omar, are you already putting stuff in?
You know that. You know I'm already signed up, and I got a little, I got an Excel sheet putting in things.
Oh, so I could, wait. So you're using Excel when you used to make fun of me for using Excel. That's crazy.
No, I don't. I just use that so everyone understands. It's actually a pen and paper, okay? Oh, okay. I'm still Jurassic years.
Cool. Yes, yes. And then after that, our Summer Advisor Workshop. So again, just a reminder, make sure that you are looking at that Summer Advisor Workshop. The way to sign up is to go to the STN website, log into your dashboard, and then scroll down on the bottom left. You'll see Summer Advisor Workshop registration there. And again, we're here to answer any questions that you have. And everybody, we look forward to seeing you in Long Beach.
Yep. See you soon, everybody.
All right.